Several years ago, I was at a facility that was going through a Joint Commission survey. The surveyors were in the kitchen observing the meal service workflow and reviewing documentation. They can ask to see anything pertaining to the operation, from equipment maintenance logs to temperature logs. Temperature logs are almost a for sure thing. The surveyor noticed that roast beef had been prepared the day before for meal service the following day. This meant that the food had to be cooked to the right internal temperature and had to be cooled to the right temperature in the right amount of time. So what does that mean in this case? Well, once the roast beef was cooked to 145 degrees Fahrenheit, it had to be cooled to 70 degrees or below within 2 hours, and then below 41 degrees within the next 4 hours. The cooling temperatures need to be checked and recorded. These temperatures were missing on the cooling log. The employee did take the temperatures, but they forgot to write it down. The surveyor threw all the roast beef in the trash. It's not enough to check the temperatures, they have to be recorded. If they're not recorded, they were never checked. It's an emotional experience when something like this happens for the department. I truly believe most people go to work every day to do a good job. Mistakes and accidents do happen, but things like this can potentially lead to foodborne illness and are always grounds for monitoring by health inspectors. While this topic could likely pop up on the exam, it's also something to be mindful of if you work around food. Knowing these regulations will also help if you ever want to become ServSafe certified, which is usually a requirement when working in food service. So remember, temperature checking isn't good enough if they aren't recorded at the time they're taken. I'm Jana Nickel, and this is the RD Exam Made Easy podcast. I'm so excited for this episode because I have Nick Padula as a guest on the show. He's not only a dear friend of mine, he's also a very knowledgeable food service dietitian. Nick started working in food service management right out of his internship. In fact, he started when he was RD eligible. So for any of you RDs to be thinking about starting your career before taking the RD exam, Nick is a great role model and example that it can be done. He worked in food service management for 7 years, so he has some amazing stories and has been through many experiences, from a fire breaking out in the kitchen to countless surveys and inspections. He's also the biggest history nut I know, besides my dad, that is, and shares a little history at the end of the interview. You won't want to miss it. Nick currently left food service and started his own business, LBC Nutrition, which focuses on health, longevity, and sports nutrition. You'll find a link to his website and Instagram in the show notes. Be sure to check it out. So let's get started. So excited to have you on the show, Nick. You're always such a wealth of knowledge, and I know you've spent a lot of years in food service management. So I'm really grateful you're here to share your knowledge and experience with our amazing listeners.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to share my wealth of knowledge that unfortunately I've been through a lot of tough times, challenging times in food service management, but it's made me really expand my knowledge of the field. So
you've definitely been through some crazy times and have a lot to share. So thank you so much for being here. I wanted to dive right in and see if you could give us an overview of HACCP.
So HACCP is an acronym and it stands for Hazard Analysis Critical Control Points. So the cut and dry definition is that it's a system in which food safety is addressed through the analysis and control of biological, chemical, and physical hazards. So this system is goes all the way to, let's say you're working in a hospital and you're doing the purchasing of the food, right? So this HACCP starts all the way at that factory that you're purchasing from, to the driver that's driving the food to your hospital, and then you're receiving the food, to storing the food, and then finally cooking it, holding it and serving it. So it's a whole long system, and each system or each part of the chain has these critical control points, meaning temperature, time that the food is out, and a lot of different factors that will play into the safety of the food being cooked and prepared need to be controlled.
So it basically is making sure that at every point in time, the food has been analyzed and inspected, checked, making sure that at any point in time, it hasn't been introduced to any potential hazards that could harm somebody when they eat that food.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's in the name. So you're analyzing hazards at every step of the food purchasing and making and delivery system.
That's a really good point. And I like how you brought in that it's in the name, because a lot of times on the exam, if you look at the question, you can sometimes get the answer by simply analyzing the question and paying attention to what it's asking. So
very
that's
true.
A really good point.
I want to touch on the this will probably most likely be on the exam. This will, so the three types of hazards that you have to control in HACCP. So it's biological, chemical, and physical. Okay. So what are those three? Biological is basically germs, sneezing, coughing, things like that. Chemical, pretty self-explanatory. It's chemicals in food that you're trying to not get in the food, right? So this is why another question would probably be, where do you store chemicals? You store them completely away from food production and food storage. And then physical hazards, that's pretty self-explanatory as well. That's hair, nails, jewelry, nail polish. There's another question. They're all kind of tied in together, right? There's a reason why the food safety rules and other questions are that a employee needs to keep their hair restrained, their nails trimmed and without any nail polish, and they need to remove any jewelry. That's to make sure that they don't have any, there's no physical hazards getting into the food.
Oh yeah. And in my experience, anytime a surveyor comes, they're going to make sure that everyone's wearing their hairnets and that any possible food or contamination that can get in the food, such as hair, will be safely restrained. So that is one of the things they're always looking at.
And one funny little food service thing that you may be wondering, why are the Band-Aids always that Smurf color blue? It's because there's no food that is that color. So in case there is a Band-Aid that falls into whatever food item that's being prepared, it can be easily identified instead of it being like a tan colored Band-Aid. So if you see those weird blue Band-Aids around, that's because it's a safety thing.
That's a really good point. So going back to HACCP, when preparing and serving the items, what are some really important control points that we should follow and focus on?
So that depends on the type of food that's being cooked. It depends on the type of protein, a grain, a vegetable. They'll all have different temperatures that the food needs to reach to be safe. So for example, cooking chicken, the internal temperature needs to reach 165. Ground meats need to be 155. Pork, veal, and lamb, 145. That is internal temperature at cooking time. That deems that this food is now safe and it is done cooking. When you, say, put the food item on a buffet line, that food needs to be at 135 degrees and above. That's the holding temperature it needs to be at. This is a question that you'll probably get, 135 for a holding temperature. And that's for hot items. For cold items, 41 degrees and below.
Yeah, that's really, really helpful. And I think it's a good reminder too, because temperatures as a manager in a kitchen are so important in making sure that everyone is taking the temperatures at the right point in time and recording them accurately, consistently, just to make sure that if there is any issue, we can catch it and deal with the food accordingly so that nobody gets sick.
Right. And that's, your students have probably heard the temperature danger zone. That is the zone that bacteria grows most rapid. And that's between 41 and 135, right? So we want to make sure that our hot holding temperature is above that 135 and cold is below that 41, right?
Absolutely.
Since we were talking about serving, you might get a question that asks how many ounces are in a certain number scoop size. So a good way to remember this is you take 32 divided by that number, that scoop size number, and that will give you the number of ounces that scoop is, that portion is going to be. So for example, a number 4 scoop, 32 divided by 4 is 8. 8 ounces is going to be that size scoop.
Okay, great. So that's a really good point to write down. And we'll have a cheat sheet for you that will have some of these things on there, so it'll be easy for you to remember. But that's a really good tip and easy way for the students to remember if that question comes up on the exam, how to go about calculating it easily so that they know how many ounces are in that scoop. So we were talking a little bit about temperatures when it came to holding food, and in the previous question we were just discussing. So what are the temperature guidelines when receiving food? Because that's when food comes into our department. And so we want to make sure that the food that we receive is safe and that we're not getting anything that could make someone sick. So are there any guidelines, or what are the guidelines when receiving food?
Right. So that on that HACCP chain, that is, the baton is being passed from our vendor to us. So now the food that's coming in is our responsibility, right? So when we check out the food that's being received, we need to make sure that the frozen food is frozen still, so 0 degrees or below. Refrigerated food, 41 and below, needs to stay refrigerated, and they're being stored directly into the proper area, whether that's in the big walk-in freezer, refrigerator, or in the dry storage area. We also want to check to make sure that the cardboard boxes are intact. There's no moisture damage. There's no tearing. There's no evidence of pests or rats getting into the boxes. And any cans should not be dented or ballooned. To that regard, always check for pests and check for rats as well. Are any droppings? Because those rats like to hide in the pallets.
So what would be the ideal practice if someone was working in a receiving area, and maybe there's a question on the exam where it asks this, where say somebody's working in the receiving area and they notice that the cans are dented or that the box has been damaged or tampered with in some way, what would be the appropriate steps to take in that situation?
And great question, because that will probably be on the exam. You would reject the food and you would send it back to the vendor, and you will, they'll give you a credit for that food item.
Okay. That's really helpful. So if that question comes up, it's always good to tie it into scenarios. So I think anytime we hear about rats and anything like that getting into the food, it's pretty gross. So it's good to know that we should reject the food and that we only take safe food into our department before we cook it for any customers or patients. So yes. Since we're talking about food and food safety, every surveyor, whether it's Joint Commission or the health department, they look at food storage, and rightfully so. So in particular, they look at how food is stored on the shelves and in the refrigerators. Do you have any acronyms or easy way for people to remember the order in which food should be stored, especially if it shows up on the exam?
So this will definitely show up in the exam. I know I keep saying that, but there are a lot of questions, so it probably will. So an easy way to think about proper food storage is you have a shelf in front of you, and you think of the food item that's going to be the most messy, the most drippy, and the one that has the highest internal temperature, cooking temperature. So that's poultry, 165 degrees. That's going to be at the bottom. The next is going to be 155 degrees. That's raw ground meat and eggs. That goes second from the bottom. Third from the bottom, you see the pattern, 145 degrees internal temperature cooking. That is the beef, seafood, and whole eggs. And then goes the vegetables, and then goes canned and packaged goods. And then above that is foods that are already cooked. So the most messy at the bottom to the least messy. And if you remember and memorize your internal cooking temperatures, that's a good way to remember what's at the bottom, second from bottom, and third from bottom.
Awesome. Yeah. Because in my experience, that's one of the things, the first thing they do is they look at that. And you never want to put any chicken with any ready-to-eat food. So I think it's really important that everybody, not even for the exam, but just that this knowledge is basic understanding, so that especially if
anyone even in your own home, right?
Exactly. I mean, exactly. That's exactly right. We all have food and we all store food. So just being aware of it is so important. Nick, it's been fabulous having you on the podcast. Before we go, I love teaching through stories. It's one of the things that I do every time I open my podcast, I open with a story. Do you have any stories or a story that you could share that really helps drive everything that we talked about together, that in the exam, the students can go, I remember hearing that podcast episode and I know exactly how to answer this question because Nick Padula shared this story and that can really help drive it home. So do you have any stories that you could share with the listeners today that would really help drive everything home?
And of course I do. So I am a history nerd. And my favorite book is The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. Some of you may have read it in middle school. So it's a book that was written in 1906. And it is the reason why we have all of these strict regulations about HACCP and about safety and sanitation. So let me just read a quick excerpt. I know this sounds like history class, but just bear with me. So here's an excerpt from the book. There would be meat that had tumbled out onto the floor in the dirt and sawdust where the workers had tramped and spit uncounted billions of consumption of germs. There would be meat stored in great piles of rooms and the water from leaky roofs would drip over it. It was too dark in these sewage storage places to see well, but a man could run his hand over these piles of meat and sweep off handfuls of dry dung of rats. These rats were nuisances and the packers would be put poison bread out for them. They would die and then the rats, bread, and meat would go into the hoppers together. This is no fairy story and no joke. So that is explaining the meat packing plants in 1906. So from that, you can now visualize the different types of hazards. There's physical, there's biological, and cross-contamination. So back to the history nerd side, President Teddy Roosevelt read this book, was disgusted, and he passed the Meat Inspection Act of 1906, which put all of these violations and inspections into action so that we can eat meat and food that doesn't have poison bread, rats, and germs in them.
Oh my goodness, that's so gross. And I'm so thankful that we have laws in place to stop that from happening. Thank you so much for sharing. That's definitely a memorable story. I don't know if anyone's going to forget that. And yes, I know you love your history. So it's always good to get a good history lesson.
Before we go, I want to tell the listeners an acronym that that can help you remember the different hazards that we need to control in a kitchen. So it's FATTOM: food, acidity, time, temperature, oxygen, and moisture. Those are all of the hazards that we need to keep in control to make sure we are putting out a safe food product.
Acronyms are always so much better because it's easier to remember when you have an acronym. So thank you so much for that, Nick. And I'm so thankful that you took your time to come and be on the show. I know you have a very busy schedule. So being here for our listeners to hear from another dietitian, because I love the dietitian community, and I always say dietitians make the best friends. I'm so thankful that you took your time to be here today to share your wealth of knowledge. And I know that if any questions come up on the RD exam that relate to HACCP and food safety, I know that they'll do a wonderful job. And so I really thank you for spending your time and being here with me today.
My pleasure, Jana. Good luck on the RD exam, everybody.
Wasn't that amazing? HACCP in food service isn't always the most exciting topic, but I can tell you it's important to know, and Nick always knows how to make food service fun. There's so much to learn and cover in food service management. HACCP is something that will likely pop up in some way on the RD exam. To make things easier, Nick and I put together a cheat sheet for you that you can add to your study resources. You'll find the link to the cheat sheet in the show notes. You can also come back to this episode anytime. If you know someone who's studying for the RD exam, or maybe you know someone who's in the middle of making a career shift into food service management, please share this episode with them. I'm a huge supporter of and believer in the dietitian community. When you have your community supporting, encouraging, and walking through this journey with you, it makes it a much more beautiful experience. I'm so thankful to have you part of my community. Dietitians truly make the best friends. Not only are we really fun people, we have shared experiences. We know what it's like to go through the long process to become a dietitian. And I gotta say, the internship is a great place to meet people you just might cross paths with in the future. I'm personally so grateful for the amazing dietitians in my life who've been there for me when I needed them most. You deserve that level of support too. Stay on top of your study game. There's no limits or boundaries to achieving the success you so deeply desire. Until next time, my friend.